Breaking news today on Seculo, a new lawsuit against the Biden administration on Gaza.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Let me tell you what's going on. And we've got a lot to talk about on today's broadcast. And this is significant stuff. We have filed, and we didn't anticipate filing this one, actually. We have filed a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit. We'll put it up on the screen. American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. This case involves money. It's very troubling development. Here's what happened. The State Department offered up to $987,000 to, quote, strengthen accountability in and human rights in Israel, West Bank, and Gaza. And according to the Washington Free Beacon, the administration is offering this money to investigate, quote, alleged human rights abuses in Israel, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. Now, this money was authorized a year ago. We filed suit today. The reason we filed suit today is because now even more money is being poured into that region, and we're having to deal with this. So look at the situation as it exists now. The ACLJ is in federal court to find out what in the world was going on. Did anybody actually take this money? Why would we do this in the first place? And why did we lump Israel in with Gaza and the Palestinian Authority on human rights abuse?
Yeah, they were only looking to spend this $1 million for a couple of groups. And there's no report, no notice of a reward to any groups. That was only supposed to take 5 or 6 months. So within this year, that should have happened. The question we have is there something brewing already within the Palestinian territories, inside even the West Bank or the Gaza Strip with Hamas, and the reason why money didn't go out, or did they fail to report that money did go out because they didn't want us to know who that, $500,000 went to and the other $500,000 went to, and what group they may have chosen to investigate Israel. I have a feeling that would be interesting to see as well. But at a time, Dad, again, like you're talking about, putting in hundreds of millions of dollars into aid, even billions of dollars into the Gaza Strip, when we know Hamas right now is siphoning all of the gas. They have images of it and videos of it. The gas trucks come in through the crossing in Egypt. Hamas siphons the gas. It goes right into the rockets.
Well, this is precisely why we're filing the lawsuit today, because they're talking about more dollars coming in. So because of that, the ACLJ has initiated a federal lawsuit. And I'm saying this because understand that we don't only address the issues from a policy perspective, but we do it and give you analysis from a legal perspective and a political perspective on air in this broadcast that you see 5 days a week. We are also actively in court. Now, so that case got filed literally this morning before we went on air. We are in federal court in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. We find all kinds of information. Last time we did this, we found out that Mahmoud Abbas's son, Abu Mohsen, the head of the Palestinian Authority, got $1 million from the State Department. I mean, think about that for some program. Think about that for a moment. The son of the president of the Palestinian Authority, who's as corrupt as can be, gets $1 million of our taxpayer money. So you want to fight back on that? Then I want to ask you to do something. Join us in our fight. We are in the day three of our Faith and Freedom Drive, and we're off to a very strong start. We've talked about the situation in Israel and said never again. We're fighting back on that. We've got lawyers in Denver, Colorado right now on the election cases where they're trying to keep Trump off the ballot. We've just filed a brand new lawsuit today against the Biden State Department over their despicable funding of this anti-Israel grant that they're doing. In order to meet these legal demands, we've launched, as I said, our Faith and Freedom Drive, which means this: your tax deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar. So we need you now more than ever. Go to aclj.org and have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive. And when you're there, if you're able to make that gift monthly, in other words, whatever gift you're making, it's doubled now, it will be a recurring gift. That means you become an ACLJ champion, and anytime we have a match, your gift will be doubled.
Welcome back to Secio. We are taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot to talk about happening inside Israel as well. I mean, breaking now, and it's actually kind of, this reminded me too, as I'm seeing it on television too, is how these Hamas rockets have changed over the years and have become less and less crude rockets and more advanced rockets. And just now, like a kindergarten was hitting Israel with rockets. Now the kids, I'm sure it's evening there. But the way that they target is, they know that's a kindergarten. They know that they're aiming rockets towards a town or a village. They know they're not aiming at a military institution. They never do that. And that's been Hamas's go-to the entire conflict.
And by the way, the difference between Israel and Hamas on that is Hamas will use a kindergarten to launch attacks out of. Israel never does that.
Yeah, and Hamas will also target a kindergarten in Israel. Right. I mean, but the kids there, you know, they're used to having to run underground. You see how it blows out windows. It does cause serious damage. And again, I think what it underscores is what's interesting is that while you keep seeing these images of Gaza just being, you know, flattened by this air campaign by Israel, Hamas is so underground with their weapons, and because they keep stealing, this is why the aid is such a joke. Every time aid comes into Gaza right now, it's being taken by Hamas. It's not getting to normal people. It's not getting to people in their cars. It's going to rockets. Have you noticed if they really had a gas shortage in the Gaza Strip, the rockets wouldn't keep being fired because it takes gas and oil to fire those rockets. So what do? They siphon it off. They continue to fire rockets. Hamas has no shortage of any supplies at this moment.
That's correct. So let's take a look at this is a couple of things we need to put in perspective. So last year we filed two FOIA requests to expose the Biden administration's actions, which I thought were a betrayal of Israel and an attempt to appease Iran. Now we're in federal court on one of them. The one we're in federal court on deals with money on a reward for reporting abuses, really targeting Israel, and they lump Hamas, Gaza, and the Palestinian Authority in one. But you need to just listen to what's coming out of, this is out of Iran, correct? Is the one? Okay, Iran's running this whole show. So do you want to know what their agenda is? Take a listen.
The situation between America and Iran is this. When you chant death to America, it is not just a slogan, it is a policy.
Okay, so there you go. Now, Andy, you handle international law with us. We know the complexities here. This is an Iranian proxy war of the biggest proportions we've seen, I think.
It is exactly that. Hamas and Hezbollah are basically the surrogates of the Iranians, doing their bidding, doing what they're going to say, what they want. And this Ayatollah Khomeini statement, the situation between America and Iran is, when you chant death to America, it's a policy. A policy of what? A policy of the Iranians through their surrogates, through their proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, to kill, ultimately, America. That's the ultimate goal here. They have infested the Middle East. They have infested Europe, okay? And they're infesting and now attacking and insinuating themselves into the United States.
And they're attacking U.S. military bases. And,
yes.
And then you've got the Biden administration sending out, you know, grant proposals to report on Israel. I mean, this is how absurd this situation is. Now, here's the other thing. Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah. We don't have the audio on this, right? We do.
Yep.
Okay, folks, I think this is important to play. We'll play it a couple times today. Folks, they are worried, Hezbollah. You want to talk?
It's interesting. He is always from an undisclosed location. You never know where he is. He's not someone that hits the streets. It's always a different backdrop. Obviously, he's a wanted terror leader for decades. And he leads probably the strongest paramilitary terror group in the world, other than maybe a narco group out of like a cartel in Mexico, but similar to that and a more advanced military. So when he sends out these messages of him, and it's actually, you know, him, video of him and audio of him, it's very important because the members of Hezbollah and both their political and military wing, their terror wing, they listen to him. Take a listen to Nasrallah, not jumping head first into going into war with Israel.
We all must establish this fact. The United States is totally responsible for the war raging in Gaza against unarmed, defenseless people. It is the United States that vetoes condemnation of Israel in the Security Council. It is the United States that stands on the way of a ceasefire in Gaza. It is the United States proving once again, as described by Khomeini, it is the greatest Satan, the great devil.
I mean, their ideology is right there.
Yeah, but he said he wants a ceasefire, which is interesting.
We don't.
He doesn't want more war. Hezbollah, people were thought this morning he was going to be saying.
I thought there was a statement, direct Hezbollah statement, where he says. Oh, we're pulling that one now. There is another statement where he says, hey, we were not responsible for the Hamas attacks.
Yeah.
We're not looking for a war with Israel.
He does want to say. He hedges, that, by the way. He says, yeah. we may do more. And they have done something. I think what's interesting there, though, is he would rather have a ceasefire and blame the United States. And I always want to underscore this to people because we talk about the rise in the terror threat here in the United States, which, you know, the FBI director, they've told us it's on the rise. It's elevated from Islamic terror. Because people like the head of Hezbollah,
Nasrallah,
are putting, and they don't make that many statements. So when he makes a statement about the U.S. being the great evil, that we're the great Satan, and that, by the way, don't think that your aircraft carriers and your military and all of that's going to scare us away. Again, remember who he says the great Satan is. Not
and
the Jews.
And that's
he says it's the United States.
This is a culture that speaks with symbolism, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so it's symbolism. Saying that the United States, Andy, is the great Satan symbolically is very significant when they say that.
Well, I think you have to really realize that symbolism in the Middle East especially, and symbolism permeates all their actions and all their activities. All their literature is symbolic. Everything they do in terms of attacks come on dates that are symbolic and that have symbolic situations attached to them. So when they use the word the great Satan, that's the Arabic word, the great devil, they are not talking really about Israel. They are talking about the United States of America. We need to get that through our heads, Jay. We need to understand that they see us as the, and I mean the United States, as the demon who is pulling the strings behind the Israelis and is doing what we are doing allegedly against Hamas. We need to realize that this satanic mentality permeates the Iranian mind, and this is how they think.
Yeah, absolutely right.
We're going to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to encourage you to get your questions in on these matters. They're complicated when you add in Hezbollah, when you add in Iran, and you add in these statements and you translate them. What exactly do they mean with all this symbolism and specific language that they use? Let's go to Nancy in Missouri on line one. Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As I've been listening over the past several days, and especially the task force about the Islamophobia, I had thought of two kind of comment questions that are a bit sarcastic. The first one is that maybe the Biden administration needs the Islamophobia task force so the FBI can investigate Jewish and pro-Israel students and faculty,
sure.
like the FBI told agents, according to whistleblowers, to investigate pro-life people.
You should put nothing by them. So Nancy, what you're thinking is kind of abstractly.
It was so weird.
So bizarre that the day of the increase of anti-Semitism attack to announce the Islamophobia conference.
Yeah, and like, you know, and the fact that like you're gonna have the vice president do it.
No, it was outrageous. Ugh. So Nancy, no, nothing is fanciful here, but let me tell you what is reality. Reality is, for decades, my people have said, never again. But as Benjamin Netanyahu said, never again is today. The attacks on Israel, not only by Hamas, but by the mainstream media, the United Nations, and even within our own government, are unfathomable. And look what's happening on the college campuses. We are meeting these attacks head on. Today, we filed a major lawsuit against the Biden administration's State Department over their despicable funding of an anti-Israel grant of up to $1 million. Next week, we will have a major announcement from Washington as we expand our defense of Israel, the Jewish people, and the hostages. And it's going to be in a very big way. We'll make that announcement next week. We also continue to fight in America's courts, where today our Jane Raskin, heading up a team of ACLJ lawyers, is in the final day of arguments in the case involving the attempt to keep President Trump off the ballot box. Here's what it means for you. To meet these demands, we have launched our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. Go to ACLJ.org and have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive. And if you can make that recurring, you make that monthly, you become an ACLJ champion.
All right, welcome back to Secul. We are joined by our senior advisor and counsel for the ACLJ, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo, I wanted you to go to you first, because a counterpart of yours, Secretary Blinken, was in Israel today with Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Herzog. And we saw yesterday a Hamas leader go on a Lebanese TV channel justifying October 7th, saying that, by the way, there will be October 7th every day. And they will continue to happen over and over and over again. Are you concerned at all yet about the administration pushing for Israel to back off on the mission to eradicate Hamas? I mean, there's certainly, you hear more and more calls for ceasefires from other countries. That word keeps coming up. It's even come up from Hezbollah's leader. But so far, the U.S. has called for cessations so they could get out hostages, but they haven't called for that ceasefire, though it seems like world pressure on them is going to be pretty high.
Jordan, I think that's very true. I listened to Secretary Blinken this morning. He clearly is very moved by the pictures that he has seen. That much is clear. But his statement was kind of all over the lot. They express support for Israel and its need to wipe Hamas off the face of the earth, but at the same time are putting enormous restrictions on them, or at least seeking to put enormous restrictions on them. And I think you're right. More to follow there. Nearly every other nation has called for a ceasefire. You have Senator Durbin calling for a ceasefire in exchange for getting the hostages home, right? That's the kind of appeasement that begets precisely what we saw on October 7th. I hope that Prime Minister Netanyahu will feel the freedom to do the necessary in spite of pressure coming from the United States. He already has a one-front war fighting Hamas. He doesn't need a second front being battled out in Washington, D.C. and in the salons of Europe. He needs the unmitigated support of the world to do what the world needs, which is to have Hamas eliminated. It's not just a benefit to the people of Israel. It's a benefit for the people of Gaza. It's a benefit for the people of the region. And it's certainly good for the United States as well.
It's interesting that what's developing right now, Mike, is that Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hamas, is kind of, and this isn't shocking, is speaking out of both sides of his mouth. He is not saying, and he's making the statement that, hey, this was Hamas acting on their own. There was no coordination with Hezbollah on this. Don't blame us, basically, for these atrocities. On the other hand, we know that Hamas and Hezbollah have both been in Iran and most recently in Moscow. What's your take on that aspect of it?
Yeah, look, Nasrallah's doing what Nasrallah does, right? He's a terrorist. He's lying. He's telling a story that protects him so that he can conduct this fight on his own terms and on his own timing. So, you know, don't blame me for 1,400 barbaric acts inside of Israel. Don't blame me for the fact that Hamas is continuing to hold hostage United States citizens. Look over there at this other guy. Meanwhile, launching rockets into northern Israel from time to time. So we should ignore Nasrallah's statements other than what he expresses his intent. He wants Israel to be wiped off the face of the earth, just as he always has. He has 150,000 rockets. A significant number of them are precision-guided munitions with real pinpoint capabilities that can strike throughout a good part of Israel. He is an enormous threat, and each of them funded, trained, directed, emboldened by the IRGC, the Iranian terror forces, external terror forces. We should expect this to get more difficult before it gets easier. And the more that the United States demands Israel stand back, the more Hezbollah will feel emboldened, the more Iran will feel emboldened, because they'll think we are weak and unprepared to fight through to achieve our ultimate objective, which is protect humanity and freedom-loving peoples around the world from terrorist threats from these radical Islamists.
We have some of the sound, and of course, this dubbed over in English from Nasrallah. It's also important, I want to point out, that he's also said another soundbite, not about Israel, but that the United States must pay a price. We talked about the increased threat of terrorism here in the United States, yeah. But let's listen to Nasrallah here in the translation. Take a listen.
This glorious, blessed, large-scale operation was 100% Palestinian in terms of decision and execution, 100% Palestinian. Even the Palestinians have kept it secret.
So there you have his denial, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah. Well, they are all gathered in Beirut. They've all been gathered in Moscow. They've all been gathered, and every one of them is connected to Ismail Qani, the leader of the IRGC, in deep and important ways. Don't forget where Qasem Soleimani was before we struck him. He had traveled from Beirut to Damascus, right. Then on to Baghdad. This is an Iranian connectivity. It is a web of terror, and Nasrallah's denials notwithstanding, make no mistake about it, they are going to continue to support Hamas's effort because they are co-conspirators in their desire to attack not only Israel, but the United States of America. And Jay, you know this too. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. The risk of an attack in the homeland is very real. For a long time, they plotted this attack that took place on October 7th. Who knows how long someone who's snuck across our border, and you don't even have to sneak that much, someone who's entered our country in these last 2 years has been planning, how long they've been preparing. You can imagine them having munitions to take synagogues out. You can imagine them doing what they did to try and kill the former Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C. No, these are terrorists who will stop at nothing. And if they are being attacked inside of Gaza in a way that they feel like puts them on the back foot, we should not for a moment think that we know precisely what they're doing here. I hope Director Ray has got his hands on it, but it's a very difficult problem set when you have hundreds of thousands of unknowns coming into our country that have been coming in for months and months and months.
Mike, we're in our Faith and Freedom Drive at the ACLJ this month because November and December are big months for us. It's a matching challenge month. And what we've been trying to explain to our donors who have been very supportive, and the responses already in the first few days has been incredible, is that we are taking a multi-prong approach. Obviously, with your analysis and your expertise, coupled with our lawyers that are litigating the FOIA to get the information. But next week, our government affairs team working directly with hostage families. That is how you have to multi-track these kind of situations to get any kind of possible resolution. And it's going to be hard to get a positive resolution for these families. We know that, but we have to try.
No, that's right. And the ACLJ has historically done as good a work as anybody in America. And you are to be lauded for it. I am confident you'll do the same for these families as well. I'm hoping to join you next week here in Washington to see some of them. There is a lot of work to do. It will take resources. It'll take really good lawyering. It'll take persistent efforts to tell our government why it is it has a responsibility. But if we get this right, if the ACLJ has the resources to do that, I pray that they can deliver a better outcome than would have happened, but for the good work of the ACLJ. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for being part of the team, Mr. Secretary. We appreciate it so much. This tells you, folks.
Yeah, it's why this part of our Faith and Freedom Drive is so important right now. The work that we are doing on a multi-level basis, not just in the defense of Israel, the defense of the United States, but also how to utilize U.S. resources, the resources of the ACLJ, to help those in need, those hostages being held by Hamas, and those families utilizing. And we'll get into it even more next week, utilizing our government affairs team in Washington, D.C., working across the aisles of Washington and across partisan politics to do what's right for human beings who were taken kidnapped. And it didn't, you know, no one from Hamas asked them when they kidnapped them and took them hostage, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? Are you really religious Jew or are you kind of a secular Jew? They just took them. They didn't care. And they're keeping them as hostages. We've got to get them out. We want you to join our Faith and Freedom Drive. Go to ACLJ.org today.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to take some calls because there is work going on right now inside the United States to get funding and support to Israel specifically. And there's a call coming in about that. And I think we need to break it down right now. The funding has moved through the House of Representatives. Now it heads to the Senate, where that's more difficult. And then President Biden's actually said if it's the way it reads now, he would veto it. Let's go to Linda in Georgia on line one. Hey, Linda.
Hello. How are you?
We're good. You're on the air. Linda,
okay.
You there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for all you do. You're wonderful.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm concerned because the Senate is passing no bills, nothing. And the House has passed a bill to support Israel. And they're not going to pass it. Schumer.
Jordan, what we need to talk about is you've got two versions of a bill that's going through the House of Representatives,
right.
One's gone through the House, and one going through the United States Senate.
Yeah, it was interesting. The bill that went through the House did get 12 Democrats to support it, so it wasn't completely partisan. It could have been, and there were some Republicans who I think did not support it. And there's because there were funding cuts to the IRS in that, and the Democrats, obviously, in the Senate, don't want that. Now, some House Democrats just said, you know, Israel needs the funding more than the IRS right now. We'll figure that out later. Let's get Israel the funding. Certainly, the Democrat-led Senate, though, is not going to just send that to Biden. So something's going to come back different from the Senate. I'm sure Schumer will get something approved. The question is it going to be $14 million to Israel, $15 million to Ukraine, $20 million to IRS?
Who knows?
And then that goes back to the House. We don't know how that will all play out. And what's important is that this quickly comes to a head and it gets signed by the president. Look, this resources get to Israel.
Here's what's also important. We're going to be with all of them next week.
Yeah.
Schumer's office, the McConnell's office, the House of Representatives, the Speaker, the Democratic caucus. We're meeting with all of them, with the families of the hostages. So I will get you more details about that next week. But let me tell you right now, we are taking a multi-prong attack to the situation globally. Domestically, we are in court right now against the Biden administration as it relates to the anti-Israel grant that they gave or purported to give. And then we've got Jane Raskin, our special counsel, leading a team of ACLJ lawyers right now, Andy, in Denver, Colorado.
That's correct. In Denver, Colorado, we are representing the state Republican Party, co-counsel with the President Trump's counsel, and we are contesting the decision of the Secretary of State, which is being challenged, to not put the Republican nominee, in this case, probably President Trump, on the ballot.
By her own decision.
No without
court, no adjudication, nothing.
Yeah, on the basis that he's an insurrectionist, although no court has ever adjudicated him to be an insurrectionist. Never been charged with a crime at all. And Jane Raskin is heading a team of, as Jay said, ACLJ lawyers out there to fight that.
Look, here's the reality. The reality is we're in November and December, and these are the two biggest months for the ACLJ. We're also initiating, and you won't know about this till next year, folks, a major campaign drive, a major expansion in two cities. One city we're in now, we're going to expand. One city we're not in at the extent we want to be, and we're expand massively. But right now what we've got to do is be able to handle multiple global issues and domestic issues at the same time. And that is where you come in. And we've launched our ACLJ Faith and Freedom Drive. The attacks on Israel, not only by Hamas, but now in the mainstream media, on the college campuses, at the UN, even within our own government, it's unfathomable. By the way, we're fighting back at every one of those, including the United Nations. Cece Heil, who heads up our United Nations work, will be in Washington next week when we have this major meeting to work on this at the UN level, to put the UN in a bit of a vice on this stuff. We've also continued, of course, we're in federal court on the brand new case involving the Biden administration as well as the 14th Amendment. None of this happens without your support. So if you go to ACLJ.org/faith and freedom, you make a donation, it's matched dollar for dollar. If you hit recurring, which means monthly, you become an ACLJ champion.
All right, welcome back to Stecky. We'll be talking about what's going on internationally, but of course, a lot of this is impacted by what happens here in the United States because of our key alliance with Israel. And we're one of the few countries in the world that has Israel's back, even under Democrat presidency, and you hear different language, but certainly it's always tougher. They're not nearly as clear about their support, especially President Biden and his team, and have made some decisions that possibly could have even led to this conflict, like we've talked about with the war in Ukraine. Are we looking so weak that others around the world are saying, you know, now is the time to launch our most bloodthirsty, extreme attacks because the U.S. isn't really going to do anything. It might just be words. And this is what you have to really push on what's happening inside your country and who your leaders are. Now, don't forget, same time this is all going on, of course, there's elections are brewing right now and who is going to take on Joe Biden in the presidency. And remember, there are Democrats and Republicans working together out of Washington, D.C., to make sure, at least in a handful of states, so enough states where it would matter, that you can't vote for Donald Trump to be the nominee for the Republican Party. And they're using a section of the 14th Amendment. And we told you we were going to fight against this. We're representing the state party in Colorado, the Republican Party. We're in Virginia. We're in West Virginia, potentially Michigan soon. Oklahoma, we've won that case there. And we filed amicus in Minnesota. That's moving up to the Supreme Court there. But the case is ongoing in Colorado. And we wanted to show you, again, courtroom footage. Jane Raskin, a special counsel with the ACLJ, and part of our team, questioning the deputy head of elections for the state of Colorado about ever preventing someone from being on the ballot. Take a listen and watch.
Has your office, to your knowledge, ever refused to certify a candidate for inclusion on the presidential primary ballot, understanding that it has been an issue for a short period of time?
Well, there are candidates that we've corresponded with, ahead of the 2020 election who failed to complete the paperwork. We've corresponded with a candidate ahead of this primary election, and they've failed to complete the proper paperwork.
Has there ever been an instance in which a candidate has completed the paperwork that your office has created that you have disqualified in a presidential primary election?
Not to my knowledge.
Have you ever disqualified a qualified candidate for president who's filled out the paperwork correctly, put forward by the Republican Party, or the Democratic Party for that matter, in your history of Colorado, the entire state? And the answer was, Andy, never.
Yeah, until now.
Until today.
Until
Donald
today.
Trump is running.
Yeah. So look, you know, that's why we're out there. And by the way, we're not just there. We're there. We're in West Virginia. We're in Virginia. We're in Michigan. We were in Oklahoma. But as soon as we filed in that one, the guy pulled his lawsuit.
Yeah. And there's different people filing these lawsuits. And in Colorado, it's a group called Crew. So you got these kind of liberal interest groups out of D.C. But they're also aligning with Republican attorneys, that kind of the D.C. swamp attorneys that don't want President Trump on the ballot because they don't get paid enough by President Trump and his friends. And he doesn't hire their law firms and pay them millions and millions of dollars a month to run their campaign accounts and side accounts. So Lord knows they don't want him back in Washington, D.C. He's bad for business for some of those Republicans. So always remember that. This is not just Democrats and liberals trying to get President Trump off the ballot. Plenty of Republicans in Washington, D.C. are part of these efforts.
Because that is the swamp part of even the Republicans.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling.
Here's why this case is so important, though. To delegate to one elected person, Secretary of State or Director of Elections, the sole authority to determine if someone can qualify after they've been nominated to appear on the ballot undercuts our entire constitutional republic's framework. You can't do that in America. You can't do that in any country. But to allow that here would not only violate the 14th Amendment section, which, by the way, how many times that's been applied since Reconstruction? Once. They try to keep somebody out of Congress by doing the same thing. And you know what happened there? The Supreme Court 9-0 said that individual gets to sit in Congress. Now, these cases are going to the Supreme Court. Make no mistake about it. It's got to go to the Court of Appeals in Colorado. Well, first, we'll get the trial court judge. Last day of that trial is today. Could get a decision today. Could be next week. We win, they'll appeal it. We lose, we're appealing. It goes to the Colorado Court of Appeals, then to the Colorado Supreme Court. And whoever wins or loses there, let me tell you where it goes next. The Supreme Court of the United States. And look, I've done 20-something cases now, 23. This is a really important one. Probably one of the most important ones we've ever done. The idea that an individual elected official could take somebody off a presidential ballot affects your right to vote. Whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, doesn't matter. They can do this to anybody. So we are uniquely positioned to handle it. But it's not like this is just an easy case, folks. This is the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which has been interpreted about zero times. So, Andy, in a very real sense here, we are making law as this case goes on appeal.
Yeah, that is correct. And the law that we're making is that there's a right of the people of the United States to vote for the candidate of their choice, and not one Secretary of State or election director can make that decision for them. And that's really the underlying thing here. You can't allow that to happen. It affects the associational rights of people. If a Republican Party or Democratic Party comes up with a nominee, the Secretary of State has the ministerial duty, that means just do it, to put that person on the ballot once they pay the fee or whatever necessary in that particular jurisdiction, not to veto that person. That takes away your right to vote for someone. Whether you like Trump or not doesn't have anything to do with it. The fact of the matter is that you should have the right to vote for who your political party puts on the ballot or decides to put on the ballot or asks the Secretary of State to put on the ballot, and the Secretary of State does not have veto authority. That's what we're, in plain, simple English, that's what we're fighting
for.
But,
Andy, also, it's going to be a complex case in this sense. I mean, we've had the jury trial, the bench trial this week, but then the appeals are going to move very quickly because these primaries are going to be in February and March.
Yeah, I mean, so this is all going to happen very, very quickly.
I mean, we're going to be the Supreme Court, I think, in January.
Yeah, so even in the cases that are just developing now, it's got to happen boom, boom, boom. I mean, Colorado could be done by the end of the week or next week. Next week you have a decision.
By Christmas, we're at the Supreme Court in the United States.
Yes, and because you've got to have this, people have got to start, they have to start printing ballots. Iowa has, of course, the caucus, which is not the actual primary, but New Hampshire's got the primary the next month.
February.
So February.
So I think we have to have an adjudication by, you know, January.
At least. And so it's going to be a lot of pressure on state places like New Hampshire.
But let me tell you what that means. That means expedited review at the Supreme Court, which I've handled, you know, six times. I've had six expedited cases. Those cases move really quick. You can go from the file the cert petition stage to the argument stage, or they may waive argument and say, we're just deciding it on the papers.
Could be.
A case like this could possibly be. In weeks. Days I've had it happen. I mean, Bush versus Gore, we were involved in that, and that was in before the Supreme Court. It was begun and over in 7 days. So this is going to move very, very quickly. And again, we're in November. We have a faith and freedom drive. It doesn't just affect what's going on overseas. That work's going on, and our office in Jerusalem is fully engaged in that. Our office in Strasbourg was able to get the European Parliament to pass that resolution condemning Hamas. It has never happened before, and the European Center for Law and Justice was able to do it. Same, you know, we have represented in that office everything from the Greek Orthodox Church to the Holy See. I mean, and evangelical churches in Budapest. I mean, you can imagine the swath of who we've represented. But here, it was getting Israel's position across that Hamas is a terrorist organization. And the European Center for Law and Justice, led by Gregor Pupinik, was successful. First time ever successful. Our office in Jerusalem is working on this directly in Israel in conjunction with our office in Washington, D.C. That's on the international matters. Domestically, we have a litigation team in Denver, Colorado, right now. We have briefs being written for the other cases that aren't in the trial stage yet. It's all going to happen in weeks. That's where you come in. Our Faith and Freedom Drive is for you to stand with us, because the fact of the matter is we need you, the country needs you, frankly, the globe needs you. And your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. And what happens in a Faith and Freedom Drive is any amount you donate, you get a matching gift for. We get a matching gift. So if you donated $100, the ACLJ gets another $100. Not from you, from somebody else. But there's another thing you can do when you do that. And some people have been able to donate $1,000 or $5,000. Some it's $5. Whatever it is, whatever you're able to do, we understand things are tough for folks right now. But let me tell you this. If you can make that a recurring gift, what that means is I'm going to make that gift that I'm giving to the ACLJ a monthly donation. Here's what happens. You become an ACLJ champion because now we get to build a budget based on knowing that each month we have a certain amount of champions. We started the drive for the champions last month with 15,000. We now have 17,000, over 17,000 ACLJ champions. My goal for next year, I want to be able to announce we're over 30,000 ACLJ champions.
And it's so important because as you've seen, folks, you can't plan for what's going to happen in the world. And you want to have the resources ready to go to act. Become an ACLJ champion today. Support our work. Be part of the Faith and Freedom Drive. All right, welcome back to Secular. We want to take your calls, too, as well. 1-800-684-3110. We'll start first with Todd in Georgia on line three. Hey, Todd, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a comment and a couple of questions. First, when they're chanting death to America and death to Israel, sadly, we've got Democrats and thousands of people here that are chanting right along with them. Yep. And the $100 million to Hamas, the $6 billion to Iran, you know, they're rewarding the perpetrators of this atrocity. And Iran has an active fatwa to assassinate Mike Pompeo and President Trump. And they're going to give them $6 billion. Is there any way to stop them?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing everything we can to stop. And listen, we take the one with Mike Pompeo, of course, the one with the president seriously, too. But Mike Pompeo is part of our legal team. He was just on the broadcast. And believe me, we know the kind of security he has to have because we're with him all the time. He's going to be with, he was with us 2 weeks ago here. We're going to be with him again in Washington next week. Our people like Mike Pompeo that you see on this broadcast, Rick Grenell, Tulsi Gabbard, we work with them not just on air. These people are helping us craft the arguments. But yet you're right. Rewarding these groups is a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, remember, Nasrallah said, ultimately, it wasn't about Israel paying the price. He said the U.S. will ultimately pay the price for the deaths of these Palestinians.
Because they believe the United States is the big Satan.
Well, you said it. I mean, Shaitan, in Arabic, he called the United States the Satan, the one that pulls the strings. They're not afraid of our fleet. They're not afraid of anything. They've got the fire in the belly, and they're coming after us. We need to have the same fire in the belly to go after them and not to drop $6 billion on them to appease them and to bribe them into not developing nuclear weapons. Don't give them any more money.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you hear Nasrallah not want to make this just about Israel and the Palestinians, but he wants to make it about the United States and Muslims. Take a listen to Bite 7.
Considering that the United States is controlling the war in Gaza, and it is the United States that must pay the price for the crimes perpetrated by the Israelis in Gaza and by the Americans in Iraq and elsewhere.
You know, we forget that it is their paramilitary groups, oftentimes, that are the ones attacking our U.S. troops in places like Syria, which we don't talk about a lot, but are still very active. And
Iranian Revolutionary Guard is a real army.
I mean, and working alongside Hezbollah, certainly, and they've trained Hezbollah into making them a real army as well. They have their rocketry, which is about 150,000, is so what they believe are ready to go, are GPS ready. So they can target wherever they need to go. They say they're not afraid of the U.S. fleet. The U.S. fleet could wipe out Lebanon, the entire country, in a matter of seconds.
45
minutes. We don't want to do that, of course, because all Lebanese are not Hezbollah, right. But Hezbollah has taken over about half of Lebanon.
Yep. Let's go to Carol's calling in New Mexico on line one. Go ahead, Carol. You're on the air.
Hi. I am so frustrated about what's being presented, about what's happening there. The first day, maybe, we heard about the innocents in Israel that were butchered. Now, all they want to talk about is the innocence in Palestine and that sort of thing. I believe for them. I pray for them. But is that why everybody hates Israel? Is that why?
No, here's why everybody hates Israel. You want to know the truth? Here's why everybody hates Israel. Because the Messiah of the world came from the lineage of the Jews, from the house of David. So if you're not Jewish or Christian, and you have a war mentality, and you're a Muslim that has this kind of mentality, and not all of them do, the Savior of the world came from the lineage of David. And believe me, they don't forget. So why is there the hatred of the Jews in that context? because the Savior of mankind came from the lineage of the house of David. And if you study the Bible or you study history, it's been shown over and over again, Andy. That's exactly what it is. And I hesitated to say it, but I felt like I needed to say it. It's because the Savior of the world is from the house of David. That's why.
Jay, that's very powerful and a very moving statement that you made. And I have to tell you that it moved me to hear that. But that is exactly the truth.
That's it.
The Zion was the birthplace of the Messiah, Sotir tu Kosmu in Greek, the Savior of the world, and the first Christians were Jews. And the Arabs and the Muslims cannot stand that, and they are after us, and they call us satanic. In fact, the Messianic is what we are, not satanic whatsoever. And because they hate Christ and they hate Christianity so much, and the Judeo-Christian tradition upon which it is based, that they are out to wipe us out. Wake up and realize that our threats and our enemies have always been and will be, as Pope Benedict said at Regensburg in 2006, you cannot deal with a rational person, and the Muslims are not rational. Their God is transcendent. If he told you to worship idols, you're supposed to worship idols. And that's not the Christian God. That's not the triune, the Trinity that we worship.
I want to go back to the phones as well, to Donna in Colorado on line five. Hi, Donna.
Hi. First of all, thank you for all you do. And I'm a Colorado resident in Denver, and I just want to know if there's anything we can do as a Colorado resident to step up and get Trump on the ballot.
I'm hopeful that we're going to win the case. I'm hopeful that we will win it at the Court of Appeals. If we don't, we'll take it to the Supreme Court of the United States, and we're going to fight back.
And then long term, what you've got to do in Colorado is educate your friends and family to stop electing crazy leftists who decide that this would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is you've got state, they filed the case in Colorado because of the judges in Colorado and the state officials who are elected in Colorado. So they chose your state for a reason, because the people that are getting elected there would be likely to agree to, on their own, as a state official, remove a presidential candidate from the ballot because they don't like the words they said on a specific day. Not because of a federal court order, not because of a something out of Congress, but because they're going to decide that as a secretary of state. They're hoping a court allows them to do that. So long term, what you've got to do in Colorado is get rid of those elected officials. You're going to have to convince your fellow Coloradans they've gone too far.
All right. As we close this week out, what a week it's been, and we've given you a broadcast for this whole week I think you've appreciated. We certainly have seen the response that we've had, and we thank you for that. By the way, in October, we exceeded our goal for ACLJ champions, almost 2,100. And our goal initially was 1,500. We stretched it to 2,000, and we ended up with 2,100. Remember, that's the foundation upon which we're going to build this out over the years ahead. We've got major projects we're going to announce next year. We obviously had an unexpected issue that we're dealing with right now, and that's where you come in. We are in a faith and freedom drive right now, which means any amount of money you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. I told you at the beginning of the broadcast, we filed a brand new lawsuit against the Biden administration on the rewarding, you know, reports on Israel. This is crazy. They lumped in Israel with Gaza and the Palestinian Authority for human rights abuse. This is insanity. We're in federal court on that one. We're in federal court in state court in Denver on the 14th Amendment challenge. As I told you, our offices in Europe are already engaged at the European Parliament. We've had success there, getting a Hamas declaration as a terrorist organization. First time that's ever happened, by the way. Our office in Jerusalem is fully engaged. Our office in Washington is on a major project that we will announce from Washington next week. Unprecedented. Maybe the most important few days in Washington we've had in a very long time on what we're going to be able to tell you we're doing. But folks, this is time consuming. We've got to have the resources. That's where you come in. ACLJ.org/faith and freedom. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift. If it's $5, we get another $5, so it becomes $10. If it's $50, we get another $50, it's $100. We've had foundation gifts as well. All of that helps. But let me tell you what also really helps. When you make that gift today, if you're financially able, and only if you're financially able, if you could just hit monthly, recurring, you become an ACLJ champion. And if we could see 12 months from now, instead of 17,000 champions, which we now have, we have 35 or 40,000 ACLJ champions standing with us monthly. That allows us to do a lot more work around the world. ACLJ.org. Have a good weekend.